Good morning, everyone. It is great to see you here. Thank you for coming to chapel. I know it's optional to some degree, and I'm really grateful to God that you're here today. Thank you, Dr. Oliver, for that very kind introduction, and especially regarding my book that just came out in the last two or three months. And so it's always great to invest in the next generation, and I didn't accept this engagement because I needed somewhere else to speak. I'm speaking really all over the country and a lot across the world, but it is a joy always to be on a collegiate campus. It's been several years since I've been here, and it's great to be back here at Union. In a moment, I'm going to refer your thinking and our conversation today in two different books of the Bible. I'm going to ask if you would to please get a copy of God's Word or scroll it up on your smartphone or your iPad, or if you've got it by memory, you'll dial it up real quick. But it's over in Romans chapter number 13. And then I want to read also, not only from Romans 13, but 1 Chronicles chapter number 12. Romans 13 and 1 Chronicles chapter number 12. Have you thought about it recently? You really only have one shot to live. One. One shot to raise a family. One shot to make a difference. One shot to do something big in your life. One shot to even do something big for God that will outlast you and outlive you. I've been married for quite a few years. My wife and I, we got married at 13 years of age. Not really. We have two sons and seven grandchildren. We started having kids pretty soon after we were married, two or three years. And my kids, they just keep on having them. And what they don't have, they adopt. And so we have seven grandchildren. Our newest little girl just came from Malawi. She's the only adopted grandchild we have. She's absolutely beautiful. Her name is Maya Faith. And Maya Faith was a person who mama was killed in week one, then began to suffer due to lack of food. Daddy walked 10 miles, handed her over to a ministry. And then within two or three months after that, the Lord blessed us with Maya Faith into our family. You see, every time I think about Maya Faith, I think about purpose in life, and I think about opportunity, and I think about how God just gave her another shot in life. I've been a pastor for a few years, pastor of the same church for 28 years. Can y'all believe that? I mean, y'all, most of y'all are not even, what, 20, 21, 22? Lord Jesus, help me. Pray for me right now. I mean, it's amazing. And so when you look at it, I think about all the people in my life that I've had the privilege to walk with through pain and the grievous experience of burying their children, their moms, their spouses. And you know what? Caskets come in all sizes. And it reminds me every time I'm in that occasion, you got one shot to live your life. And so therefore, I want to challenge you. You need to take your best shot. And you need to look at what all is happening in the world today and ask yourself, what can I do to contribute to where we are? What can I do in my life to make a major difference? I mean, when you think about all that's going on and has gone on across the world, you take the last year, the crises in the world, they're insurmountable. They're so innumerable. When I was elected president of the Southern Baptist Convention in June of 2014, I began to log because the summer just went crazy with crises around the country and the world. And by the time I got to the middle of the fall or the end of the fall, I couldn't even keep up. There were so many. I mean, it is absolutely amazing what has happened over the last 18 months in this world and in this country. And I'm telling you, the crises abound. And then you look at the cultural impact of that, the changing winds of the culture. I mean, it is absolutely astounding to me. And I've never seen it like this in my life. Never have I seen it like this. You say, you guys really say that? Do y'all really mean that? I really do mean it. And when you look at what's happening in the political world today, and you look at all of the different political views and the merging of some and the plethora of all the rest, it blows my mind. And all of that is now compounding. And yet the world, even with all that knowledge, all with the education, all with the giftedness, the world is becoming increasingly lost without Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And 3 out of 4 Americans do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I mean, what do we think the answer is? Is the answer that we begin to dumb down what we believe about Christianity? Is the answer to compromise God's word? Is that the answer? You know what? If I leave nothing with you, I want you to know today that this is a wonderful time to be alive. It really is. I have never been more excited about living, and I just hope that the Lord doesn't come back, that I have a long life ahead of me, because it's exciting to be alive here today. And this is a great time to be here. That's why I want to talk to you today about this is your time. This is your time. This is your prime time in your life. And this is not a time, regardless of what goes on in the culture, for you to retreat, but this is a time to advance. This is not a time for college students to shrink back and to think that you can't make a difference in your life. There are 22 million college students around the United States. And the couple of thousand that come to this institution, you are just part of this large group of people, a generation that has the opportunity to change America and a generation that has the opportunity to change the world. And I'm telling you, this is your time. And so I pray today that God will deposit something in your heart and motivate you to become all God wants you to be. The Bible tells us over in the 13th chapter of Romans, these words found in one verse of Scripture, Romans chapter 13, verse 11, the Bible says, besides this, look at this, knowing the time, it is already the hour for you to wake up from sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Knowing the time. Hey, do you know what time it is in your life? Oh, well, you know, it's September 2nd. I'm 18 years of age, or I'm 19 years of age. Now it's 10:25, and you've got to be out of here by 10:45, so hurry up. And, you know, I got all that, but that's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about this whole element in this word time, meaning chronos, like a watch that I have on, or a calendar that you operate your life by, or you dial up on your smartphone. Oh, no, he's not talking about that kind of time. The word here is not this word chronos, but the word is the word kairos, talking about it being not a specific date or hour, but a specific time, a seasoned time in life, a decisive moment, a crucial moment, a point in time in life that is one of the most decisive moments in human history. And you have the privilege of living in this decisive moment in human history. It is an undeniable moment in your life. an undeniable moment in history for you to rise up and to make a difference like never before. And the sovereign God of heaven, think about it, who determines where you lived and when you live, has privileged you to live in this day, to be at this university, at this decisive moment, for the purpose of making a humongous difference with your life. And for you not to dumb down on believing you're not worth it. It's not for you to listen to the attacks of the world and the attacks of the enemy, and for you to go to sleep and to think you're just one of many millions in your generation. Oh, no. It is far greater than that. Because God has so appointed you to live in this hour, you have the opportunity of a lifetime to make a difference with your life like never before. And the Apostle Paul, who is writing this, he tells us that we have to understand it's an undeniable moment because the Lord is coming back soon. And because the Lord is coming back soon, he's sooner to return today than he was yesterday. He calls us to action. Here's what he tells us to do. To wake up. To wake up. Hey, college students, listen. This is not a time for you to take your spiritual life and treat it like it does not matter. It is not a time for you to operate in slothfulness in your walk with Jesus Christ. Or it's not a time for you to go to sleep in church or go to sleep in the classroom. Oh no, he says right here, this is the time for you to rise up like never before in your life because the urgency is there. And if you're not careful, you will miss the moment. And you don't want to miss the moment. Man, when I look back at my life, I think about, man, where in the world did all of my life go? I mean, where did it go? And I prayerfully have a long runway left. But that same thing's going to happen to you in your life. And you have to understand, the years go fast, but the days many times are long. But the years race by you. You have got to determine now at 18, at 19, at 20, 21, and 22, or whatever you are today, and you're older, you got to determine now, I am not going to go to sleep in my life. I'm going to be all God wants me to be in my life. And the challenge is that God has given you this moment to live. And right here, just think about it, out of all universities he could have put you at, he puts you here. And of all this time, he put you here with these people. And out of all this time, this sovereign God who loved you and gave his son Jesus Christ for your life and gave you purpose and meaning and who gave you a changed life in Christ and him alone, that God has willed you to be here. And because of all of that significance, you've got to understand, man, I can't have business as usual. This is important. I can't go to sleep at the wheel. Man, I've got to take my life serious, my Christian life seriously, my academic life seriously, my family life seriously. I mean, I have got to be very, very committed because this is my time in my life. And it's interesting that that word time is used in many places in the Scripture. But another place it's used in the Scripture is over in 1 Chronicles chapter 12. And I want to refer to this for a moment. In 1 Chronicles chapter 12, let me tell you what's happening. David was anointed as king. But the problem was is that Saul was still alive. And interestingly, the world was racing past Saul's life. And I mean, they were falling off the Saul train real quick. I mean, there's nothing worse than a leader on his way out, and everybody knows it. And God had appointed this king named David. Well, David began to draw all these people into around him, and all of a sudden they were so drawn to his personality and to the anointing of God that was on him as king. And the Scripture says this about a lot of these people. And in fact, it mentions a certain group of people, and I want to talk about it briefly this morning. In 1 Chronicles chapter number 12, verse number 32, if you would look at it with me in the text. The Bible says, from the Issacharites, listen to what it says about them. who understood the times and knew what Israel should do. Now, what does all that mean? Well, here were the people coming alongside of the king named David, who was anointed and one day soon would become the actual king of the people. In fact, the Bible talks about various groups and their purposes here in chapter 12. There was one group the scripture talks about how they were so gifted they could take the bow and the arrow and they could shoot it from a long distance and destroy the enemy. That's what they brought to the table. And another group of warriors were people who could literally be like offensive and defensive linemen going after each other at the line of scrimmage. I mean, they were strong, they were powerful, and they were engaging. And I mean, they could with their physical force, they could overpower. But then he talked about another group. And that group is this group called the Issacharites. And look at what the Bible says. They understood the times. In other words, they got it. And the times, oh no, not this time. Not now, it's 10:33. Oh no, no, it's not that. It's not the day of the year, but what was it? They understood the significance of the moment. They understood the powerful dynamic of today. In fact, the word is translated even in the Septuagint as the very word that we see over in Romans chapter 13. And notice what it says, because they understood the times, the significance of the season moment in which they were living. Here's what he said. They knew what they should do. They got it. You know, sometime in life, you don't know what to do because you don't understand the time in which you're living. And if you run past life so fast and you don't stay current on what's going on in the world, man, you race past it and you don't even know what your action needs to be. You just start making haphazard decisions. That's not what they brought to the table. And that's not what we need to bring to the table. And so with this understanding, what should we do in the times in which we live? I mean, right now, what are the actions that we need to take because of the significance of this moment in U.S. history, the significance of this moment in the world, the significance of this moment in your generation? What should be your actions? I want to suggest that you take three of them today. I submit them to you humbly, and I pray that you will embrace them boldly. Action number one, you must come together now. Joining in visible union in extraordinary prayer for spiritual revival in your life, spiritual revival in your university, spiritual revival in your church, and for the next great awakening in America. Do you realize the significance of the moment? This is not a moment whereby you sit on the sideline and you don't worry about your spiritual life. This is a moment where you need the fresh work of the Holy Spirit working in your life every day. A fresh moment when you spend time in the Bible every day, even as a college student, not in class, but you personally getting before the Lord God of heaven, whether it's in the early morning or the late night, and you getting before God is reading God's word and let the Holy Spirit breathe life into you. And becoming engaged in a vibrant, evangelistic, local church that really leads you to being what God wants you to be and helps you understand what it means to live the Christian life. I mean, listen, do you really understand when you have a fresh moment with God and you understand what spiritual revival is? It is God manifesting himself through you in a special way. And there are seasons in life when we don't have that. And there are seasons in life, if we're smart, we will dial up into that and we will want all that we possibly can. And to bring that to your church, to bring it to your university. I mean, Union University can be known for a lot of things. You could be known for being in Jackson. You could be known for building a beautiful new building over here. You could be known for the legacy of this institution. But hey, what if you became known that when you walked on this campus, the presence of God was so powerful that no one was ever the same after they left this campus. That the presence of the Lord was so dominant in worship in this room when you met, that I mean, the glory of God fell all over the room. And you went into a spiritual moment like you have never been in your home church, never been in your spiritual life. You say, well, is that really possible? I mean, hey, we're an academic institution. Listen, it not should not just be possible. That's really God's intention for every one of our lives, is to experience His glory every day. And why is that so important? Because America has a lot of needs, but the greatest need in America is the next spiritual awakening. And do you realize through U.S. history, the people that were so significant in bringing awakenings to the country many times were young people, young adults, young leaders who literally were used by God in a dynamic way. It's not, boy, I'm going to make a difference in my life when I get to be 40. If it's that late, you're in trouble. And who knows how long you'll have. I mean, man, we need to be serious before the Lord in our life. And we need to learn the value of prayer. I mean, what if this university develops such a culture of prayer that it doesn't matter what it is, classroom, hallway, chapel, outside, under the tree, walking along, all of a sudden, if someone had a need, you prayed for that need. You prayed for one another. You engaged in one another in deep intercessory prayer. You see, prayer is not an action in your life. Prayer is your greatest action in your life. And you can look at the history of the church. You can look at the history of America. And listen to this today. There is no great movement of God that has ever occurred that has not been first preceded by the extraordinary prayer of God's people. Extraordinary prayer. It's time for you to come together. Visible union. Visible union, locked arm in arm, and call out to God in a way like you've never called out, together and individually, for God to bring a mighty, mighty, mighty spiritual awakening to America. Is that possible? Not only possible, I believe God's going to grant it to us. I've been in all kind of movements over the last couple of years or so of my life. I'm telling you, God is raising up an army of people praying for this nation. I was with just under 400 pastors for a night and an entire morning over in Little Rock, Arkansas, and it was a time that we called out together. We called out together to the Lord because we believe in our heart that God is our answer, and anything less is not enough. You say, you really believe that, Ronnie? Oh, I believe it. I'll tell you why I believe it. Because God can do more in a moment than you can ever do in a lifetime. You can work your guts out. Excuse me. You can work your rear end off. Excuse me. But our God can do more in one moment than you can do in an entire lifetime. Action number two. You must rise up courageously. You must rise up courageously. You and your generation cannot sit this one out culturally. I'm thankful that this university is not sitting it out culturally. You're a part of a great institution that's committed to the authority of Holy Scripture. And in this world, when these things are happening, marriage being redefined, abortion is being exposed for the evil that it really is. ISIS is growing around the world. And racial tension is growing all over the nation. These are days that are calling for a generation of courage. You must rise up with courage. Courage in the classroom. Courage in the culture. Courage one day when you have children as a parent. courage in marriage that you'll marry right. This is not a time for you to go to sleep and be silent. This is a time that your generation needs to rise up courageously. I tell you, you look at the pages of the paper today. Just look at it today. Go to the web and look at it. That's what you read. Go to the web and look at it. And you tell me there's one answer other than God. You tell me there's one answer other than the Christian men and women in this nation and teenagers standing up today in this nation and having courage. If they laugh at us, so be it. If they scorn us, so be it. If they lock us up, so be it. If they kill us, so be it. God is greater than all of them. And one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And action number three, you must stand up and go forward in the future with a deep sense of urgency in your life, a deep sense of urgency in your university, in your church, and in your future. I said it a moment ago, you have one shot in your life, not more. You got one, just one. And I want to challenge you today. You take it and you live it with urgency. You live it with urgency. It's so important that we live fast-paced in the relationship of understanding the moment. And it's a moment that we don't want to see go in the wind. This is a moment of significance. God has chosen you to live. He's caused you to make a difference with your life. This is a wonderful, wonderful time to be alive. And your goal should be, God, what is my purpose? God, what do you want me to do in my life? God, I'll do anything. I'll stay here in Jackson till Jesus comes, or I'll go to the ends of the earth. I'll teach in college one day, or I'll go in corporate business one day. I will do anything you want me to do. I belong to Jesus Christ and Him alone. And that's what you belong to if you know the Lord. So sell out all the way, and let's give Him our all. Let's bow our heads together. As you bow with me all across the room, would you stand to your feet now and keep your head bowed? Lord, today, we surrender. I surrender to you afresh and anew, and I've surrendered already several times this morning. But I want to live a surrendered life. And I pray for every one of these college students today, every one of these faculty members, other spiritual leaders in the community that are here. I pray in Jesus' name that you would help them to see the significance that they can bring in this day and in this hour. In Jesus' name, use this generation to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we pray it now. Amen. Have a blessed day. Have a wonderful day here in class.